It's Mothering Sunday, as you all know, I'm sure. And a lovely song for Countdown, just as we prepare ourselves. And I've chosen this song. It speaks of God and it takes our minds to Him, of course. But it's got that, "You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same." And I just love that verse, thinking of love that sticks with us. It's kind of a mother's love, isn't it? It's what we hope for from our mothers, and what many of us were fortunate enough to receive for so many years. Unconditional love, and that's the love that God has got, and that's part of what this song's about. So enjoy this as we prepare ourselves for worship.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all its
welcome to church this morning. Great song to start with, isn't it? Indescribable, uncontainable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, "You are amazing, God." That's our God. We come to worship Him, the one who has created all things, who knows all things, and perhaps most amazingly of all, knows the depths of our hearts and yet still loves us the same. I'm so glad that he's my God, aren't you? Welcome particularly to our ladies online this morning. Whether you are a mum or not, if you are a lady, if you're a female, thank you for being here today. Thank you for being part of our church family. We love you, we value you, we appreciate you so much for all that you are and all that you do. We are so grateful. So trust that this morning God will bless your hearts and that you'll have a lovely day. We're aware that for some, Mothering Sunday is not an easy day. All kinds of pains and memories. Some of us didn't have good mothers, didn't have mothers to love us and care for us. And that's painful. And for some of you still, you may well have mums that you are not close to. And I am aware of that. And I don't want this morning to be painful for you. So let's pray. Let's thank God for his love. And then we'll come and we'll have another lovely song. Our Father in heaven, we thank you today for your amazing love for us. Thank you that you know our hearts and you still love us the same. You are still unconditionally connected and covenanted to us, that you'll never leave us, you never forsake us. You are better than any human's love. We are safe in your hands and we worship you for all that you are and all that you mean to us and for all of your faithfulness to us. Today we honour the ladies in our lives, our physical mothers, our spiritual mothers, those who just mean so much to us. We thank you for them and ask your blessing upon them. And Father, for those for whom today is more difficult because of relational things that have not worked as they would have liked them to, we pray that you will draw close and remind them and fill them with your love and your compassion that is greater than the love of any human being. So our Father, we come to worship you, a worthy God, a worthy Father for us. And we ask that you'll accept our worship. Please forgive us for the sins that we've committed in thought or word or deed. We come to you, Father, through Jesus, who died for us, who rose again, who lives with you as our intercessor. We worship you through him by the help of the Holy Spirit. And we would ask, dear Holy Spirit, please, would you help us to worship in spirit and in truth, in a meaningful way today, we would ask. So hear our prayer, receive our worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we come to you today in Jesus' worthy, precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's have another lovely song. Chosen the next song. It's a song sung for us by Lou Fellingham. It's called Amazing Love. And again, it's speaking of God's love for us, the love of Jesus for us that excels any human love. But it's a song of worship. And I pray that whether you know it or not, this will be a song that you will enable you to worship the Lord with. So let's sing along to, or hum along to, tap along to, or just listen to Amazing Love by Lou Fellingham.
Amazing love, laying down your glory, you endured the cross instead of us, sacrificed your own life for the wrath of God. Jesus, you have paid the price for me.
I bring my worship, for you are good.
Super song. Okay, let's go over to Pat this morning. And Pat is going to bring our Bible reading. So get your Bibles ready. So you're going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. So get your Bibles. Here we go. Thank you, Pat.
Okay. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You were her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. In the same way, you husbands must give honour to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathise with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will bless you for it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. And I'll leave you guessing for a few moments, everybody. That reading we're going to look at this morning. Before we come to that, Emil is going to lead us in our prayers this morning.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bring to you today in our prayers all whom we love, our church family, our friends, neighbours, and our home families. Help us all to live so that we can strengthen and enrich the family life. Help us build with you the kind of family that welcomes strangers, the lonely, and the needy. On this special day, we remember that throughout our lives we have reason to be grateful to our mothers and ladies. When we are babies, they do so much for us, feeding us and keeping us warm, safe, and clean. When we are children, they teach us, help us, comfort us to share our ideas and encourage us. When we are married and have families of our own, they still support us, give us advice, and share our problems and our joys. When we grow old, they still love and give to us, even though they may be weaker, older, and not the energetic, always willing and able people we remember. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our mothers, for all they have done for us, and pray that the love they show us can be reflected in the way we show our love for others, and in the way we each strive to live our lives according to your will, Lord, in your grace, Father. We also pray today for those of us that miss their mothers, Lord, those who can't be together because of restrictions with COVID, but also for those whose mothers who have been called to glory. Help us to remember their strengths and beauty, Lord, and most of all, their love for us, and give us strength in this knowledge and your spirit to live our lives so they might be proud of us. We pray for those members of the church who lost their loved ones over the last year. Give them strength in what today is a difficult but memorable day, so we can rejoice in it, even though we miss them in your grace, Heavenly Father. We remember today those who are sad and lonely or away from their families, the families where there's conflict, and those that might not be able to have families. Father, we place each of them in your soft hands so that they can know the comfort and reconciliation and peace that your love brings. Father, we pray for those whose hearts are grieved today. Give them strength in the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light that can have no darkness and can't be quenched and shines forever and brings hope. Lord, merciful Father, accept these prayers, we pray in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Emil. Thank you very much. Let's come to God's word this morning. That word that Pat read for us from 1 Peter chapter 3. Ladies, I got some good news for you this morning. You can actually have a morning off. I don't want you to go and go anywhere. I want you to listen in. But this talk this morning is particularly for the men, because I want to look with us men at verse 7 of 1 Peter 3, where it says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." I want to think this morning how to be the husbands that God wants us to be. And you'll notice I say us. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to us. I'm a husband as well. I'm a man, and I'm still working on this one. I'm a jar of clay, and I'm sure if I let Andrea loose in front of the screen this morning, she could give you a whole catalogue of areas where I am still in desperate need of developing this. So please don't hear me as saying anything here this morning about you. This is very much one for us. I want to address those of us, particularly who are married or would like to be. So if you are a guy, a young man, maybe a teenager in your 20s or older, and I know some of you are, you'd like to be married and would aspire to be married again one day or to be married one day, this one is for us. If you're older, and maybe those of you who have been widowed, I hope this isn't going to be too painful for you, but what I would ask is that you turn that and to pray for those who are married, and pray for the younger guys in our church family. Ladies, what can you expect from this? Well, those of you who are young ladies and not yet married, or ladies who are not married and would like to be, I hope and my prayer would be that this would be a guide for you, what to look for in a future husband. Okay, so you teenage girls and younger than teenage girls who maybe think about getting married one day, and this is the kind of person, this is the kind of man that you need to be looking for from God to be your husband. The question is, what is the best Mother's Day present we could give to our partners, our wives? What's the best Mother's Day present we could give to them? And I would suggest to you that it's not a box of chocolates. It's not breakfast in bed. Those things are very nice. It's not a bunch of flowers, though those are very nice and appreciated, I'm sure. I am convinced that the best present that we could give to our loved ones would be to be the best husband that we can be, not just for one day, but to be the best husband throughout the year, to be the husband that God wants us to be. As Christian men, this would be the best present that we could give, to be the husband, to aspire to be, to strive after being the husband for our wives that God wants us to be. Not just one day, but every day. If we can get that right, then I think that everything else will start to fit into place. So, what kind of husband does God want us to be? What kind of man, what kind of husband does God want us to be? There are two key passages in the Bible that help us. There are many, but I want to focus on two this morning. And one is this verse in Peter, and another one is found in Ephesians chapter 5. Hold that one there, Martin. That's okay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says this. It says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church." Okay, just listen to this one. This is not the verse that's on the screen, but this is the other key verse. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, just as Christ loved the church. And this other one, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, this is in the NLT on your screens. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. I've highlighted some of the key words here. Honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. So in a nod to our ladies who would often say that we men can only remember one thing at once, I'm really going to stretch us this morning. I've got two things for us men to take on board, two things to remember this morning. And ladies, I give you permission to nudge your husbands if necessary this morning, or to remind them of these things in subsequent days. The first thing coming from this verse is that we are to treat our wives with understanding. Treat our wives with understanding. And there's just a reference there to Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. I'll refer to that. But this thing about treating your wives with understanding, what does it mean to treat your wives with understanding? I read a little story a while ago about a guy who was walking along a beach in California. And as he walked along, he kicked a bottle on the beach and picked it up. And for some reason, it was closed, and he opened it, and out came a genie. And the genie was so pleased to be let out of the bottle. He said to the guy, he said, "Oh, thank you for letting me out. I've been trapped here for so long. I'll give you one wish, and I'll make it come true." And the man thought hard. He thought, "Well, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid of flying and boats make me seasick. So what I'd like you to do is build a road to Hawaii." And the genie thought for a while, said, and he thought, "I don't know, that's a hard one. That's a lot of concrete. It's a lot of piling in the sea. It's really not very environmentally friendly. I don't like to refuse it, but no, I can't do that one. I have one more request, and we'll see what we can do." So the guy thought again, and he said, "All right, so this would be my second request. Can you help me to understand women? Can you help me to understand how they think and why they think, why they are like they are? Why are they so temperamental? Why are they so difficult to get along with? Basically, what is it that makes women tick?" And the genie thought for a moment. He said, "Tell me about that road again. Do you want it one lane or two?" Ever think about that? We could joke about this as much as we like, but the fact is that God instructs us men to live with our wives in an understanding way. It is our responsibility as husbands to understand our wives, to treat them accordingly. A literal translation of this is to treat them according to knowledge. According to knowledge. What does that mean? What does it mean to treat them according to knowledge in an understanding way? Well, the NIV is, though it's not literal in this, the way it puts it, it's actually very good, because it means, it talks about living with our wife in a considerate way. And to live with understanding, or to live with our wives according to knowledge, is to live in a considerate way. To be sensitive to our wives, to be considerate to her character, to the way she's wired, to the way that she thinks, to her unique emotional and psychological needs. It's about being thoughtful to her and for her. It's about being thoughtful to the way that makes her tick, to what makes her happy, to what will enable her to be all that God has made her and wired her up to be. And that, for many of us, is where the difficulty lies. No wonder the genie would say, well, tell me about the road again. It is that sense of understanding that men have often have of women. There was a famous book written in 1992. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And he talked that the guy there, John Gray, who wrote the book, talks about the different characters, the differences, psychological differences, physical difference that means that in general, women think differently. They're wired up differently. And I think there's one key above everything else that we need to have, and that is to listen. We men need to listen to our wives. I've had so many wives over the course of my ministry. I don't like to think how long I've been a pastor. I've had so many wives say to me, my husband just doesn't understand me. He doesn't listen to me. I just want him to listen. I just want to tell him how I feel. And he doesn't seem to. Guys, that's an indictment on us if our wife should ever feel that we don't listen to her. We need to give them our undivided attention and just to listen to them. It hasn't always been that way, has it? With us, remember when we were going out? I think many of us are too young to talk about courting. I didn't court Andrea. I went out with Andrea. Do you remember those days when you went out with your wife? When you were courting, you were trying to woo her. Let's use that old expression. We tried to woo. We tried to win their heart of the woman that we fancied and we grew to love at the time. And one of the things that we would do, we would listen. We would give them time. We would give them our undivided attention. We just love to hear their voice on the phone. You know, we just long to pick the phone up and just to spend some time just listening to their voice. But then we married, and probably for the first part of marriage, it was the same. We were treating them with love and understanding and respect, and we loved to hear them talk to us. If we were away, we honored to be on the phone the whole time. But then things came in and it changed that. Career and work and family responsibilities and homes and all of those things came along and they take our attention. And sometimes those urgent things overtake the important things. Those pressing things that demand our time can suck out the energy and the attention that we give to our wives. And too often we stop giving time, we stop listening because we're too engrossed in those other important things. This is where Ephesians chapter 5, 25 comes in. Remember what it said? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That should come up on your screens, Martin, if you can show that. Should come up here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. I want to think for a moment, how did Christ love the church? How did he love the church? What does that mean, that little phrase, as Christ, just as Christ loves the church? Think about that. How does he love us? Well, he loves us fully and totally. He gave himself for us completely, fully, totally, sacrificially. He gave up everything for us. This is Jesus. This is Christ, who was in heaven with God, was God. He gave that up, became one of us. And it says in Philippians how he gave himself. He became nothing for our sake, humbled himself and became a servant of his Father for sure. He came to do his Father's will, but he came to be a servant for us as well, because he came to die for us, to serve us by dying for us. He gave himself up for us. And even now he is in heaven as a glorified human being. It's a marvel of what Jesus did for us. That he didn't just become a human being, a man for a period of time, but he went back to heaven and he lives in heaven now as a glorified human being. answers one of the questions that one of you asked on the question and answer evening, and I didn't get a chance to answer the question. Does Jesus have a body now? Is he still a person? Is he still a human? Yes, he is. He went back to heaven, and the Bible tells us that in the same way as he went, he's coming again. So as he went with his glorified physical body, so he will come back in his glorified physical body. But he's there as a human being now. So he gave up being totally spirit and he became one of us unconditionally in a covenant where he cannot stop being like us, one of us. This is the connection that God has with us. Imagine the condescension and humility, the connection he has. That was his measure of his love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And I just want to put out in at this point to those of you who maybe are interested in Christianity but have not yet come to a point of full total belief and commitment to Jesus. This is the Jesus of Christianity. This is the Jesus who came because he loves us, because he came and he wants to reconcile us to God. He came to deal with our sins. This is the measure of his love. This is the one that you would be committing yourself to be following when you become a disciple of Jesus. This one who's all love, all compassion, who loves you, is committed to you, who died for you because he wants the best for you. This is Jesus. And he would say, come and believe in me. Come and follow me. Come and enjoy the life. Come and I will help you live the way that he's calling you to. This is Jesus, the God-man, who's in heaven, but he's coming back to earth. So this, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, this is how we are to love our wives. This is how we are to consider our wives. This is how we're to be thoughtful of our wives. That's the bar to attain to. Oh, man, that's a high bar, isn't it? That is a high standard that he has set for us. To think of our wives more, to be willing to give ourselves up for our wives. Practically, that will mean that we will give them time. It will mean that we'll give them attention, even as Jesus did for us. It will mean that we love and we care and we cherish our wives. So the best gift that we can give very often is our time. It's consideration, a listening ear. Husbands, do you know your wives? Do you know what they need? Have you spent time with them just listening recently? Have you discussed, have you asked her, what would you most like me to do? What are your biggest worries? How could I most help you? What do I need to do? What do I need to stop doing? Have you asked her what kind of husband she'd like you to be now? First thing. The second thing is that we are to treat our wives with honour and respect. So number one, treat your wives with understanding. Second thing that Peter says, or that God says to us through Peter here, is to treat your wives with respect and or honor. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, says 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Now, the thing that often stands out, I've highlighted certain words in there, but despite my highlights, I wonder if there was another word that stood out for you in there. The word that stands out so very often for many people is the word weaker, as the weaker partner. It stands out a mile, doesn't it? And so many people say, how dare God say that the woman is weaker than the man, than the husband? But whoa, not quite so fast before we go down that line. We need to understand the context here, and we need to understand really strongly that Peter is not being derogatory of the women and the wives. In fact, in this passage, he is doing the exact opposite to that. Peter is elevating women. Peter is wanting to give respect to women. He's wanting to give them a role and a dignity that most of the women would have known nothing of until that time. You see, in his day, women and wives were seen as goods and chattels. They were considered to be the possession of the husband. They had no rights, they had no role, they had no voice, they had no say. They belonged to their husbands, who could do with them as he wanted. And Peter's whole point, God's whole point in speaking through Peter here, is that women are in no way less than women. When he speaks of them as being weaker, all he's doing is speaking the obvious, that in the main, women were physically not as strong as men. He's possibly recognizing that in the main, women are emotionally more sensitive than men. Some would see that as a weakness. It's not a weakness, but it may well be that that's what he's got in mind here. That's the way it was considered in those days. But there is a sense in which sometimes women in the main might be emotionally more sensitive than men, more intuitive, more in touch. It's the way they're made. We don't need to hide away from these truths. Why? Because it's the way God made us. It's the way God wired us up. When he made Adam and Eve, he made them different. He made Adam first. And it was said it was not good for man to be alone. He didn't find, of all of the creatures on earth, he didn't find a suitable partner. And so God made Eve. Why? To be less than him? Not one bit, but to fit perfectly with him, to make up the equal share and to be what he wasn't. So Adam and Eve fit together and become one as they join, not simply physically, but as they join their lives together and become one. The two equal parties with different roles, different makeups. If Eve was made the same as Adam, well, why would he make something the same when Adam was not complete? Why would he make a perfect replica of Adam? It doesn't make sense. It makes sense why women are different to men. It's just to complement each other. And as they come together, they make one perfect being. That is how it's meant to be. That's how God made it in society and in marriage. That is the general way it is. So let us be under no illusion here then that when Peter says weaker, he is inferring anything that women are any less valued or important than men. It was to counter, entirely to counter, the rampant male chauvinism that Peter writes as he does. And far from being lesser, the wives are equal partners. They're worthy of respect and honor in their own right. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through to 28. Look at this. It says this: in Christ, you are all. And here Paul is writing to the churches, to the Christians in the region of Galatia. He says, you are all children of God through faith. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. God sees us equal, all of us equal in his sight. So notice how Peter here speaks about partnership. He says you're to speak them as your as the weaker partner and as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life. Now, there's some debate as to what the gracious gift of life refers to. Some would believe Peter is talking about the gift of life being the gift of marriage. Others, I tend to favor this myself, view it as he's talking about salvation. He's talking about the new life that women have been saved in the same way as men have into the gift of life. In one sense, it doesn't matter. The point is that he's saying that in God's family and in families, there are no hierarchies. There's no pecking orders of the men and then the women. They are equal in God's sight. So what does all of that look like in practice? Let's bring this down to some hard tacks. What does it look like in practice? Here's a few starters. I've given you three things on here. I want to put another one in before we get to this. Put down listen, encourage, and speak well. I want to say about decision-making. I'll just put this in here beforehand, that decision-making, if we're equal partners, partners need to be doing things together, decision making, make those decisions together. But listen and encourage and speak well. I've talked about the importance of listening already. But I would say that as important as listening was at the beginning, it's a continual ongoing thing. Let's not assume that the lady we married is the same person as we're married to now. And you understand what I'm saying on that. I'm not saying we've got a different wife, but time changes, events change, people grow, they develop. And what our wives most needed when the children were young, for those of us who have, our children have fled and flown, may be very different to what our wife needs now. We've heard of the empty nest syndrome. We need to reassess. We need to listen because things change. People change. Wives change. We grow. We develop. As God changes us, as we become more sanctified, needs that we had once. So listening, again, is important. In that to start with. But I would say also is we need to encourage our wives, I think, treating them with respect and honor. I think there's a thing here about encouraging them to be the best that they can be. You know, it's not good enough for us just to say, do you love me? Yeah, well, I married you, didn't I? You know, we've got to encourage them practically, investing in them, to support them, to be the best they can be, to release them, to flourish in their lives. We need to nurture and nourish, and we need to allow them and do all that we can to allow them to flourish, to be the best that they can be. Make it your aim, husbands, to make your wife happy. Now, I'll tell you in a moment why this is so important. And it's not just for an easy life. People say a happy wife is a happy life. Well, there's probably some truth in that, but that's not where it's about. It's about enabling our wives to flourish and be everything that God has called her to be and desires for her to be. But I think also in respecting, there is a thing about the way we speak about our wives, the way we speak about them and the way we speak to them, that we speak to them with respect, and the way we speak of them with respect. It disturbs me sometimes when I hear men, when they're with other men, and they kind of speak in a disrespectful way of their wife. Christian husbands, we ought not to do that of our wives. I'm not saying I've heard it necessarily here, but it happens. It's blokes' language when blokes are together. You know, we need to be high. We need to be better than that. We need to be higher than that. We need to be setting a standard in our culture, in our places of work, in the places of recreation. I know we can't recreate at the moment. We can't go down the pub. We don't go to the gym. You know, we are restricted. But when we can, and when we're back with the blokes, let's speak well of our wives. Let's set a different tone and a different standard. Sometimes there can be a disconnect between what we say and what our wives hear. Or am I the only one that's found that out? You know, I will say something and Andrew will think I've said something completely different. You know, I need to respect her enough, and we need to respect our wives enough, not just to, you know, say, well, it's not what I said. We need to understand them enough to be able to modify sometimes the way we talk and the things we say. And we need to be, you know, how we communicate needs to be thought through with our wives, and our actions and the tone of our voice needs to go. We need to think how we communicate with them, to speak well to them. And speaking is more than words. There's a famous thing about the love languages. And I'm not going to go into all of this and be sloppy and sentimental, but men, I think there's something in this that people respond with. Men, we're the same as to what we like. There's five different ways that we communicate things that are here on the screen. Some people respond best to words of affirmation. For some people, they respond and they appreciate most when they are served, giving acts of service. Some people really love it most of all when they receive a gift. Some people, it's just the time. They really appreciate quality time. It doesn't matter what's said. It doesn't matter what's given. It doesn't matter how much people serve them. What they want is just to be with the person. Or for some others, it's physical touch. So husbands, what's your wife's love language? What is what is it that your wife appreciates? What does she listen to? What does she benefit from most? And you might want to ask her, if you haven't lately, what is it? Which of those love languages is yours? She'll be able to tell you if she went to 3L's about a year ago, because they had an evening looking at this, of the five love languages. And men, we have our own love languages as well. We're all different, and we will respond to different things as well. It's a good conversation over the dinner, preferably not when the children are around, as to how the best ways that we respond. Why does this matter? Let's land this plane this morning. Let's come down. Let's land this. Why is it important, all of this stuff? Well, it's important for us to be good husbands and to respect and honour and live with understanding with our wives. It's good for their sake. But you know, there's another reason. And Peter says that at the end of the verse. He says, so that, did you notice this? So that your prayers will not be hindered. The way we live at home, the way we treat our wives, the kind of husbands we are, will affect our spiritual walk and relationship with the Lord. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. In a nutshell, if we don't respect our wives, if we are not good husbands, then our prayer lives, the effectiveness of our prayer lives, will be affected. Our walk with the Lord will not flourish. Guys, I think we all know, don't we, if we've had a discussion with our wives, because we don't have arguments, do we? We just have a robust discussion sometimes. Have you tried praying afterwards when you've been wound up and you've been misunderstood, and then you try and go and pray? It is hard. It is hard. For our spiritual walk, we need to be close with our wives. And it will be the same for our wives. You see, here's the thing. We don't pray so that we can be a good husband. We're good husbands so that we can pray. Our number one responsibility is to be loyal and good and walking with the Lord. We need to be good Christians first. Can you just leave that on, Martin? I think I just want to sort of elaborate on that just for a moment as we kind of wind down on this one. If you can get that back up on this one. This thing about praying, and we don't pray so that we can be a good husband. We're good husbands so that, that's what Paul is saying here. And I'm not saying, and I don't think he's saying, don't pray in order that you would be a good husband. It's a good prayer. Lord, help me to be the best husband I can be. Help me to be understanding of my wife. Help me to be patient. Help me with the way I talk. Help me to listen. Help me to give them time. Help me to understand their love language, her love language. Lord, help me. That's a good prayer. But he says, be a good husband, and then you'll be able to pray. So actually, the being a good husband comes before prayer. Prayer probably comes before and afterwards, but Paul is very clear on this one. So that, honour your wife, so that your prayers will be answered. And then last thing, and here we're on the runway, we're down from the sky, we've landed. But the last thing, going back to that verse in Ephesians chapter 5:25, in the same, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. One more thought from that. How did Christ love the church? He loved the church by taking the initiative. Jesus took the lead. He took the lead in our relationships. We love him because he first loved us. Guys, we need to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We need to be the initiative takers. Our responsibility is to be taking the lead in our marriages. We need to be making the first move. Ours is for us to be setting the standard, the spiritual standard. We must not leave this to our wives to say, can we pray? So we need to pray about this. We need to pray. We need to be taking the standard. We need to be setting the tone. We need to be taking that role in our families of the God-given role of leadership. That doesn't mean we're better. It's just the role. Just as the wives and the women will have other roles, there is this thing. As Christ loved the church and Jesus took the initiative, so we are to be taking the initiative in our families. We're to be setting the spiritual agenda. We are to be setting the dial on the thermometer if you like. We are to be setting the temperature in our families as Christ loved the church. So, what's the best gift we can give to our wives on Mother's Day? It is to be the best husband that we can be. Wives, I give you permission to remind your husbands of this morning's message. I give you permission to text people who are significant in your lives. Young ladies, that's the kind of person that you're looking for, somebody who will treat you in that way. Husbands, let's remember God's word. Not just to think, well, that was an interesting one. When God speaks to us in these instructions, he does it for a reason, because he wants us to change. He wants us to develop. And none of us are there, are we? You know, we're here. We want to go to there. We want to go to there. We want to keep stepping up. Young guys who are not married, those of you who would like to be married, you're looking for a, you know, or you will be looking for a wife. This is the way you've got to treat your wife. This is the instruction from the Lord this morning. Let's pray and help, ask God to help us to be this or to do these things in our lives. Father, we pause at the end of your word to us this morning and ask that we might take these things and live them out. Lord, three of those fingers when I was pointing come back to me. I ask that you'll help me to be the best husband I can be for Andrea. I pray for each of my brothers that are married, part of our family here this morning. I pray for each of my brothers that we will be good husbands to our wives, that we will be thoughtful, we will be considerate, we will give them time, we will honour them, we'll respect them, that we will be seeking to serve them more than we are ourselves, that we would model Jesus in our families. Oh God, would you help us? We need this. We need your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you don't ask us to do this alone. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Holy Spirit, would you prompt us every day and remind us of these things? And I pray for those who are unmarried but would like to be married. I pray that for the young men listening to this morning, I pray that they will aspire to be these kind of husbands when they eventually get married. I pray for the young women, and I pray for those who are not so young but would still love to be married. I pray that they will find a husband that will treat them in this way. We thank you for our mothers and our fathers spiritually, who many of them who modeled these things. Help us to be those who model them to the younger generation, we pray. Hear our prayers this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It may have raised some questions for you. In a couple of months' time, we'll do another Q&A. So jot the questions down now. If you're thinking, well, how does that work out in practice? What are the implications of that? You can do that with any sermon, but jot it down. So when we've got the Q&A, we can deal with these and unpack them further if you want. Reminded me of the verse in Hebrews, and this is where we'll finish today. It's a request. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Men, you'd better get off and get that dinner ready. Ladies, you can enjoy another glass of wine, or you can just enjoy the smell of the dinner being cooked. It's great to have you here this morning. And thank you so much. Ladies, thank you so much for being part of our church family. Thank you for all you do. And I look forward to being back together more than ever. You know, it's going to be a while. Chapel sold, new building isn't ready. So even when lockdown eases, we're probably still going to be having to do Zoom for a little while after that. But just so grateful for all you do and all you're doing now. Things I hear going on, the caregiving, the love giving, the thoughtfulness that so many of you give, the texts, the phone calls, the cards, the flowers, the lifts that you give, just immense. Thank you so much for the encouragement that you give to everybody. God bless you today.